It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Game over!
What is up, Jets fans? Welcome back to Game Over Winnipeg. My name is Liz, one of your regular hosts here, and I'm joined by my good friend Brady Chalice, bringing out Ringing in. Not quite yet. You know what I'm trying to say. Finishing up 2023, doing what we do best, talking crap about the Minnesota Wild and covering a Winnipeg Jets win. Only one loss in the month of December. Closed it out with a bang. Winning the back-to-back against the Minnesota Wild, the home and at home. Played most of this game down by one. So really nice to come up with the win in this one in a hard-working game from some of our guys. Brady, how did you feel about this one? How are you feeling right now?
It was a pretty good game. I mean, I didn't really check out a ton of the game yesterday. I know that there was a lot of back and forth and shenanigans from the last game that were supposed to carry over into this one. But what I think ended up happening is we kind of saw two teams that wanted to get out and start fighting with each other early on. But then at the same time, both were like, we both just played a back-to-back.
Yeah.
And although things did get a little chippy, obviously, starting of the game, it was probably not as bad as we expected it to be.
No, definitely not. Like, there are a couple of moments, like, obviously, like, for example, the Zach Bogosian, you don't need a writer kind of clashes throughout the game and whatnot. And then, obviously, shout out to the Minnesota Wild fans. Like, they were excited, more excited, I think, for some of those big hits against, like, Mark Scheifele and other players like that than they were for, like, the goals, because it was like, you know,
He got tossed around.
He was getting thrown around out there. Like, it was kind of funny to watch because, you know, Mark Scheifele is one of those guys that it's like, I can laugh at him getting hit on the ice. Like, if a Minnesota Wild fan is laughing, I'm like, rude. Ouch. But, like, I can laugh because that's our guy kind of thing. And it was kind of hilarious. He was really out there. That whole first line was a little bit, but we'll get into all that. But all things considered, this game ended up being a little bit cleaner than I was expecting, which is always good because you want to make sure that real hockey game is being played within a division rivalry and all those good things. Anything that you found as far as like the chippiness, the penalties or anything like that, that was like kind of appalling or egregious or anything crazy like that for you today?
I mean, when it comes, like, here's the thing. The game started off with a quick penalty against, was it Zach Bogosian who took the first penalty?
Yeah.
And like some people, we watched the game together with a couple friends and we were all kind of debating whether or not like that's a soft call or anything along those lines. But I personally was like excited when I saw that, cause I thought that we were going to get a good game in regards to the reffing and the refs coming into the game and understanding kind of the history from last game,
yesterday
and a lot of history between these two teams, and understanding that this could become a chippy game. So I thought that getting ahead of it and calling a penalty right away on a cross check that a lot of times might go, you know, unpenalized, need right of there was, I was surprised in regards to what I'm used to from the reffing, but I think that like, that's a penalty. He cross checks him in the back, in the side. Of course, Bogosian's going to go off complaining about it. But that, by the rule book, that's a penalty. You can't do that. Just take one hand off your stick and you can push him like that and it's fine. It's not a big deal. So honestly, I was fine with that. But then I kind of felt like they said kind of like that, oh, we set the standard and then didn't, you know?
Well, maybe that was the ref's kind of way of being like kind of putting the warning into their brains that, hey, this is how we're going to call this game, so then everyone kind of chilled out and took the discipline into their own hands, which is actually a talking point that Brady and I had written down, is that I think, all things considered, the Jets played a pretty disciplined game. And we have a couple of meatheads on this team that, you know, sometimes I worry about those.
Jeffrey Beal.
Jeffrey Beal. Oh, my gosh. but a couple guys like, and some of them are smart players, are good players and things like that. But like, that don't always have the emotional regulation to manage the games when things get a little out of hand. So I think that very much could have escalated into that sort of game today, and it didn't. And part of that is, I think, because of both of these teams kind of having some of that internal discipline, they didn't need the refs to handle the game, because if they had needed that, obviously we know when you leave game management in the hands of the refs, things can get really out of hand. So I think, all things considered, we ended up watching a pretty good hockey game out of this one. And before we get into the specifics of the Jets, because there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about with them, and obviously this is a Jets show, but we were playing the Minnesota Wild today, and I see we have a couple of Wild fans in the chat. Shout out to you guys for being here.
Welcome.
I realized that there's a little bit of beef that I missed on Twitter yesterday. Everyone was kind of fighting about some stuff with the Kaprizov thing and everything, all that and in between. On the Minnesota Wild side, I thought Brock Faber, again, keeps managing these crazy matchups and just handles it cool as a cucumber. He was so good. And we have to give a special shout out to our special boy. Our special boy, Nick Batan, led the Minnesota Wild in expected goals in this game, because that's what happens when you put him in a position to succeed.
When you put him in the top six and with like players who can actually play hockey and not Chris Thorburn. It's also hilarious that we are talking about this right now. And this was like, when was this an issue? Like in 2014?
2015? Yeah. Like, this is pre-Jets, like, playoff era. And, like, no, Nick Batan has been a conversation piece within Winnipeg and adjacent spaces for almost 10 years. Like, almost 10 years straight up. So I will never, ever stop talking about him. We knew this game was going to be a little bit of a fun one going into it. And then I saw the daily face-off line chart. Nick Batan, second line, left wing. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh yeah, this is gonna be a good one. And I thought he played a fabulous game.
He did. I mean, he got in on the power play goal that the Wild had. Which was it? Their second goal?
Yeah, the
it was the second goal of the game, right?
Might have been.
I have it here. Yeah, it was, because obviously there was the first goal, then there was the Foligno tip, the first goal that was called off.
The Ryan Hartman goal,
which we'll talk about that stuff. Yeah. But but no, I mean, like, again, Patan playing with Rossi and Hartman, like, he looked pretty decent. I mean, like, as a whole, he's still like a depth piece, and I'm not saying he's ever going to be a guy. I also
nice
don't
to see that.
It is nice to see, because he played well. And again, the assist that he got on the power play goal there was him digging in the corner in behind the net with another one of the Wild players who was up against the boards, gets the puck out, you know, dishes it over to Marcus Johansson. He dishes it across to Gaudreau. You know, some people talk a little shit on secondary assists, but in an instance like that, like, that goal literally does not happen if Patan doesn't dish that puck out. So,
do you know what other goal doesn't happen without the beautiful secondary assist? Winnipeg Jets' first goal today. Now we're going to start talking about the Jets a little bit. And that goal by Adam Lowry, absolutely gorgeous work by Dylan DeMello on the boards there to find the late flyer in the winger of Ethan Appleton.
Yeah.
Oh man, what a gorgeous pass finding that guy. And that's how you make those goals happen, right? Obviously you need the guy in front of the net to make it happen in total. Like, it, and Adam Lowry was alone with like four green jerseys in front of the net, and he managed to make it work. So I don't want to discredit him. Like, he made that goal happen 100%. But I love when you're coming in off the rush and you find that late guy who doesn't have somebody on him, and you can have a little bit of space to come into that super high danger net front zone and make a good shot that can turn into something really good that helped put the Jets on the scoreboard there.
And like, I also, you failed to mention that it was 100th goal of his career.
Yeah.
Shout out Adam Lowry, that's captain nice. Of the Winnipeg Jets. But also, like, this is the type of goal that was kind of needed in this type of game. Like, this game, you know, despite it actually ended up being a decently high flying game at a certain point in the game, I think it was in the second period, it really got much more ramped up than it was previously. Like, this is the type of goal that is scored in your, I can't remember what the term is for it. I think it's slush games. Some of the people who look at like strength of schedule. It's two teams that are coming in off of a back to back. These are the types of goals that you need to score.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll talk about the first line and how they've kind of a little bit receded from their Globetrotter form. Mm-hmm. But this is the type of goal that you need in this type of game, where it's kind of just two tired teams fighting each other for for, you know, hockey. but this is the type of goal. And I wish that the Jets would have played a little bit more to this, because I felt like there was a lot of times tonight. And this is something we always harp on a lot with the Jets, is their shot selection and their lack thereof shots. Like sometimes there are games where it feels like they're just trying to find the perfect chance when they're not just throwing it on net. Guys, this was Marc-Andre Fleury's 1,000th game in the NHL, which, congratulations to him. I'm definitely not still upset about 2018 or anything like that. Otherwise, I very much like Marc-Andre Fleury, but this is a goalie who's been like, he's what, like an 890 this year? Like, you should be throwing pucks on net. This is a guy who likely doesn't have the greatest rebound control anymore, likely doesn't have the best stamina. He's what, 40 almost, 39, 38? I'm not exactly sure.
He played his first game in 03, I think. So
But regardless, the point is, it's like, this is what the Jets need to do. And it's very good that the Jets have this as an option. You know, that they have this as a weapon to use when they need to score goals and they aren't able to do it in the traditional, you know, Globetrotter sense that guys like Mark Scheifele love to do. Mm-hmm. I really wish the Jets would have focused on just putting the puck on the net a lot more tonight, because again, with a know your opponent, this is a tired team. They're gonna take, if chaos happens after the whistle, they might take a penalty. Crash the net, just go and get your dirty goals. And this is exactly what Lowry does here. And I think it was very important to get the Jets back on the right track for this game, because they kind of started off a little slow, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think what that sort of spills into, and we know that I am more of an expected goal than real goal person. That's kind of just what it is at this point. But the whole idea of knowing your opponent and playing to what is needed and adjusting your game, not abandoning your game, but adjusting to what is needed in this particular game, is, I think, why the Winnipeg Jets' fourth line has been so impressive in the last little bit. And I want to talk about them a little bit, because they had a good game in this game. They've obviously, and I think this probably goes for most teams kind of across the board, is that your fourth line tends to face the most changes, because that's the line that has people flopping in and out, that has people promoted, demoted all the time. And so that's no exception for the Winnipeg Jets as they are right now. And in this game, they had, you know, two guys who have been playing together for the last couple of games. But even a month ago, Morgan Barron is the only consistent one who's on that line. Rasmus Kupari, obviously, before his injury, was on there. And David Gustafson, before the Kyle Connor injury, wasn't part of it. But then he was, and all this good stuff. All that's to say, Dominic Toninato's third game or so of the NHL season. Axel Janssen-Fjällby is probably 10th or something like that. Like, and Morgan Barron, the three of them, though, they play that style of hockey that crashes the net a little bit. And it ended up paying off for them today in this game with that goal, the game-winning goal from none other than Dominic Toninato. Shout out to that guy. Holy Dinah.
How many games has he played now?
I think this is three. I think he's played three. Straight up.
We're getting our assistant in the back saying, yes, it is three. Is that correct?
he doesn't know. He was gaslighting us.
Something like that. But he's been surprisingly super duper useful this year, considering, again, and like it's really easy when you're a player who gets kind of, you know, yo-yoed between the AHL and the NHL for years on end to really find a spot. I will say this about the Jets. The amount of talent they've had come up from the Moose. Again, these are guys who have played NHL games before, obviously, in Janssen-Fjällby and Toninato. I'm getting confirmation it is his third game. These players who have come up from the Moose, like it's crazy how they have come in and consistently been difference makers. Again, Toninato getting on the score sheet tonight. There's even a moment, I think it was in the first period, when that was the one where Iafallo like spun and threw it across the net, and Toninato was right on the doorstep there. Like these guys are making such an impact, and it's crazy to say every single fourth line player that has come up and played a game for the Jets, that it almost feels like every single time they do, you're almost like, how can we take this guy out, kind of thing.
And which, that's what you want.
Which I'm not saying that like Toninato is like a guy who we can't take out, but I think the Jets have done a really good job organizationally at creating that internal competition, and also mm-hmm. making sure that you always have guys who can step in and, you know, provide some value to the team. Long gone are the days of, your Nate Thompsons, your
Nick Shores.
Nick Shores. Give me another.
Matt Hendricks. I could go on for days.
Chris Thorburns. All these guys who play on the fourth line and make it so it's almost a non-option for the Jets. Whereas nowadays, it just seems like the fourth line is just one of the many reasons why the Jets are such a successful team. And I, like tonight is a perfect example on it. I mean, getting the game-winning goal in a tight game where, and I'm pretty sure like the Jets scored not too far before that. That was the Vlad Nemeskov goal on the power play, which we got to talk about.
Again,
like the fact that the Jets are able to come at teams in waves, like the fact that you can score a goal on the power play and go, hey, let's throw out our fourth line now. Just go out there, do your nothing shift. Every coach will tell you growing up, the most important thing is you don't get scored on right after you score a goal. Not only do they not get scored on, they go out and they get themselves a goal. The fourth line has been so instrumental for the Jets this year. It'll be interesting to see when, you know, playoffs come around, what, you know, where those players are, especially if we get any trade deadline acquisitions. But every single one of them I've been super duper happy with. Like, I can't think of a single player on that fourth line who I've been disappointed with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think looking at, you know, you mentioned the healthy internal competition piece, which I think is super important. And, you know, we've had some complaints, and I was just looking at the ice time on the score here and taking a peek at it. Obviously, we have some issues with our second line's deployment. You know, Cole Perfetti getting less than 10 minutes per game is not my ideal scenario or anything like that. But I am always for people getting rewarded for good behavior. Like, Pavlov them. Do it. Like, make sure they're getting out there. And the fourth line today played basically just as much as that second line did. And while I don't believe the demotion and ice time for that second line was necessarily warranted, I like the idea of running guys who are hot. I think it's really important. I'm pretty sure they had an over 60 or 80% goal share, expected goal share, pardon me, on that fourth line today. So why not keep playing them out there, right? Like, that's how it should be. And that's the issue that I think we faced with the Winnipeg Jets for a while, was that we were irritated where certain players who maybe weren't the key guys who were always kind of getting those first line power play and all that kind of stuff, it was, they could play really well, but it didn't matter because nothing would change for them. They wouldn't get more ice time. They wouldn't get promoted to a line, even though they were playing better and all these kinds of things. But it actually seems like there's a little bit more merit-based performance evaluation kind of going on here. Not entirely, and I can't fully commit to that because of Cole Perfetti. And Goldberg riding alone. And even Vlad Nemeskov, only like, what, 12, 13 minutes in this game is not, you know, reflective of the kind of game he's been playing over the last little stretch. So I'm not fully on board yet, but I'm just saying I like the trajectory of going in that direction where if a line is playing well, let them continue to play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Well, I want to ask you then, how do you feel about that second line in quotes? Because I have had a lot of mixed feelings on them because I think that as a whole, I don't really like their construction. I don't think that those are players that naturally would be successful together. Although we have seen a couple games where that they've strung together where they've played, been one of the better lines for the Jets. In my opinion, they just kind of feel like the leftovers. And like Alex Iafallo is just warming a seat for Kyle Connor or potentially Nick Ehlers. It's been a couple games since I've been like, you absolutely can't break this lineup. I'm not, you know, saying anything on that. I would like to keep them together. I think that having Kyle Connor join that second line will be important. But do you feel like that second line is just a bunch of misfit toys kind of put together, or do you believe in the, it's kind of construction?
No, I think it is a bunch of misfit toys put together. And I think the thing that's kind of weird about it right now is that the way this team is playing, I don't think they really want anyone playing less than 10 minutes right now. But the thing is, they also don't want their top line not playing 20 minutes. And by that virtue, you can't. Like, there's no winning formula with having everyone playing an okay chunk and also still running your first and third line, especially if your third line is taking a lot of really important offensive or, like, defending the other team's offensive matchups and whatnot, which in a game like this, you're kind of playing a little bit more reactionary when you're on the road. All that's to say, I think they have the fact that they want to run a top line a little bit more and a third line a little bit more to, you know, get offensive firepower and defensive firepower. And that leaves fourth line guys and other guys, because this team is too good to have an offensive line, a defensive line, and then six other forwards. They have too many guys who could fit in that higher end of the lineup. So I think what you do is you take the guys who are on the lower end of that higher end and you throw them on that random gaggle of a second line. And that's the Iafallos, the Perfettis, and the Nemestikovs of the world. And not that I agree with that, but that's kind of how I see this team right now, is that they have all of their offense on the one line, all of their checking and defense on that third line. And then you take the rest of the players and you're like, here are the good ones, here are the bad ones, and this is how we make lines two and four. So I'm definitely not married to the line combinations that they have right now. Big fan of Scheifele and Ehlers together, but beyond that, I'm very much a see where it goes kind of person. So I don't know, but I'm curious to see what everyone in the chat is thinking. And you know, for those of you who are here live right now, thank you for being here and joining us for this little New Year's Eve matinee show. But I'm curious to hear if everyone's kind of feeling the same way that we are about the lines, where well, we're not feeling anything super definitive, but it's very interesting to see where things are at right now.
And we're at the questioning stage,
right? And Jeff is saying in the chat that the blender is gathering dust right now, which is not something that a lot of NHL teams can say, but they've really taken these lines and decided to run with them without changing a whole ton. And I don't know if that's the right call at this stage in the game.
And it's really weird also with that second line, that they're not a line that is considered trusted, in quotes, in the late ends of the game. Like, one thing when you acquire both Alex Iafallo and Vlad Nemestikov, the one thing that I noted on these two guys is that they are both defense first specialists. Like, they are, like, despite what you may think about Vlad Nemestikov, considering his offense, especially as of late, with the Jets, he's been fantastic. Even if you think back to, you know, when he used to play with the Lightning, maybe you have vivid memories of him scoring with, like, that triplets line, it being, you know, filling in with them. He's not an offensive player that's not his specialty, for sure. And so it's crazy to see that, like, for example, the Perfetti and also Perfetti's like one of the better defending
results
players.
Speak for themselves. Like,
look at any expected goals model and they'll show you that Cole Perfetti does not get scored on, not scored on, but his expected goals against is significantly lower than Theo Mark Scheifele. And yet this is a line that isn't trusted to play in the late ends of a game, which maybe for this game, I kind of understand, considering it was a bit chippier, and maybe you also want to protect Cole Perfetti, considering he's a guy who can get pushed around a little bit. But at the same time, it's like, you might, you know, obviously we're not talking about it today because the Jets were able to lock it down, and that was one of the things I thought they did fantastically today. But it's just weird how he just constantly is getting treated with the kid gloves, right?
Well, but is it weird? Because this is how hockey works. And you said it, it was almost in what you said. He's being treated with the kid gloves because he's a kid. And I guess maybe this game is, you know, kind of the anomaly and we just are going to turn a blind eye to Brock Faber because he's having opposite treatment. But I'm not necessarily a believer that Cole Perfetti needs to play 20 minutes a game or anything like that. But again, it is the whole idea. Just my frustration is within the fact that the results do speak for themselves, and he's been really good in every situation.
But even development-wise, though.
Yeah, no, also that, but I don't know. It's an interesting line that I don't foresee being put together long term. We have a couple players who are on the way back from injury. Also, didn't even talk about this on the stream yesterday, but Kyle Connor skating in a non-contact 20 days after, what, spraining his MCL? Or I keep screwing up all these knee injuries between him and Vilardi. I can't keep track of them anymore. But that return is imminent. Rasmus Kupari, it sounds like, is coming on the California road trip next week, and all these kinds of things. So, like, there is, and David Gustafson has a short-term injury, all these, whatever. Like, the lines will change. And, you know, especially with Kyle Connor being the question mark piece in that, it's going to shuffle the top six, no questions asked, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see what their choice is for demotion, because I don't know if they're going to want to move Alex Iafallo to the fourth line, but I think it's kind of the only option at this point. But even within that, it all depends on stylistic fit with the players that they have. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, things go after the All-Star break, I assume, when Kyle Connor makes his return.
Yeah, for sure. One other player before we finish off the game portion of it, because we did kind of go on a bit of a tangent here. I know that you wanted to talk a little about Vladimir Mastikov, and I guess maybe this can partially be a power play thing.
Yeah, we do need to talk about the power play 100%
and all that. Vladimir Mastikov scores, shows the Jets that you can shoot the puck on the power play. You can just walk in and shoot it. Scores like how many, like fucking 15 seconds into the power play? Not even. I don't even know how quickly
such
it was.
Such a nice shot. Like such, that was the thing with like pretty much all the goals in this game, both the Minnesota goals, like the Marcus Foligno goal, beautiful tip. Beautiful tip. The Gaudreau goal, beautiful shot. Like hockey fans, credit where it's due. Like, holy cow, those were some nice goals. The Nemesikov goal was such a nice shot too, dude. Holy smokes. Like that was sweet. But 100%, it's a puck on the net in a situation where you can put a puck on the net. And that's kind of the issue with that power play, is that even when you have Nikolaj Ehlers coming in, guns a-blazing, like just absolute gorgeous carry and whatever, he'll do that circle around and he'll make like a crazy one-off pass that all of a sudden leaves his zone, whatever. Nothing happens if you don't get a puck on the net. Like, straight up, I don't care. Like, I am a big possession time girly. Like, I do care a lot about things like that. But if you're not putting the puck anywhere near the net, you won't score a goal. And that sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, because obviously that's just how hockey works. But if you've watched the Winnipeg Jets power play, you know that that's the case, right? Yeah. Like, there's so much fancy passing around, but if it doesn't result in any puck going within 5 feet of the crease, there's you've wasted the power play. You genuinely have. And I thought today they did a little bit of a better job of putting pucks on net, and the Vlad Nemestikov goal is a perfect example of, okay, even if that wasn't the world's most perfect shot that rings around, you know, the back bar there, it bounces off a shoulder, it bounces off a mask, it bounces off a chest, and all of a sudden whoever's, you know, playing the little bumper there or whatever, like, is able to, you know, smack at it a couple times and maybe score a goal because of that. Like, that's what happens when you put proper pucks on net, and I think that's something that the Winnipeg Jets need to think a little bit harder about. It doesn't have to be the perfect pass, the perfect shot, the perfect little spin around from Mark Scheifele on the left wall there. Just throw it towards there and put people, you know, in front of that position to succeed, and you'll at least have more chances than a weird pass or a weird thing that ends with a 2-minute power play with zero shots.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, for those of you out there, obviously we are big fans of Murat Ateş of The Athletic, and also friend of the show. I guess we can say that.
Anyone who comes on the show is a friend of the show. Anyone who's in the chat is a friend of the show. If you're here listening right now, you're a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
On the topic of power plays, he had a phenomenal, phenomenal write-up worth
Must be a day that ends in Y.
Well, of course, but he had a phenomenal write-up about what is going on with the Jets power play. I would encourage you to go read it at The Athletic, even if you don't have a subscription. I'm not even joking. This is worth paying for a single month of subscription. It is that good. But he breaks it down into many different reasons as to why the Jets power play is not working. Things like one of the things that I scream about all the time is the lack of movement. But then he breaks it down, even getting to that point, why the Jets on their entries are poor, why when, you know, starting off the power play, very frequently the Jets are in their own end. Even on the first power play was that the Jets had, they give up a shorthanded chance within seconds of you know, 10 seconds of the power play goes by. I would really suggest going to check it out. And I kind of use that as kind of my basis as to, you know, my grading of the Jets power play today, at least on the first power play unit, because that's the one where we have all the questions about. Mm-hmm. They definitely looked better. They looked better in regards to getting getting the puck back, as well as putting shots on net, as Liss was mentioning. But they still really do need to work on, I think, their entries as well as their face-offs is one thing, which I usually would never, ever say, but I think that it is pertinent in regards to power plays.
Yeah.
Because then you don't spend the first 15 to 30 seconds chasing and trying to enter, a thing that the Jets aren't good at, because they don't like using Nikolaj Ehlers on the entries, which they did a couple times today. So So yeah. So anyways, I thought the power play looked a little bit better. They are working their way towards it. I'm glad that the Jets know what they need to fix. It's very obvious. Rick Bowness said it himself that this is one of the things that they absolutely need to correct. But all in all, really good to see the second power play go out there and so go, hey, power play one, this is how you do it. Just get your shots on. You can just walk in and shoot it. And Vlad otherwise had a great game. But that kind of wraps up my thoughts on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go, we should. It is the end of 2023.
Yeah.
Sorry, I am. Ooh. it's the end of 2023.
Get a little choked up.
I would love to hear everyone in the chat. What your guys' favorite moment of the season of 2023
yeah.
for the Jets? Obviously, start of 2023 was a bit of a roller coaster as the Jets went from being one of the best teams, the best team in the West, to being one of the worst teams for a couple months.
They were like two losses away from being the greatest collapse in NHL history, and I will never forget that.
I forgot about that. Well, some of us do.
Some of us.
But anyways, in the chat, I would love to hear what you guys, your favorite memories are from this year. It's been a crazy one, a lot of ups and downs, and I'll also throw it over to Liz. Do you have a favorite moment from this year?
So my favorite moment from this year
2023
was getting to go to my first ever Winnipeg Whiteout playoff game inside of Canada Life Center. I had never been to a Winnipeg Jets playoff game before, and I know we haven't won at home in a couple years. I know there have been some playoff struggles for the Jets. After game one of that series, the Jets fell apart and it was very disappointing. Lots of things like that. But it was actually really emotional getting to be there and getting to experience that crowd with everybody. It was super, super emotional and overwhelming for me, and that was really, really special. Honestly, that whole first round, all five of those games were super, super fun for me. Brady and I got to go to a street party together. I got to go to the bar with one of my friends for one of the games and watch one at home with my family where we all dressed up. But, you know, like, it was just very, it's very community focused and all these different kinds of things. But yeah, that's very selfishly my favorite moment. And I'm worried that a couple people are going to say that their favorite moment was one of my worst moments.
No. Well, Liz, since you bring it up, my moment this year has to be, I want to just as a whole give Kevin Cheveldayoff a firm handshake. I would like to shake his hand and just say, you know what? Well done, buddy. Of course, the moment for me is trading Pierre-Luc Dubois. I was trying to think of a funny thing to call him, but no. PL Dubois to the LA Kings for our boy Lardo, Gabe Vilardi, Rasmus Kupari, and Alex Iafallo. Oops. And a second did we also get for that too?
The Montreal second,
which is hilarious.
Yeah. Did you say Rasmus Kupari?
I did say Rasmus Kupari.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't listening.
I said him and then I forgot Iafallo.
Oh, yeah.
Real. So that has to be my favorite moment of the year. Well, not necessarily that specifically the trade, but just kind of the coming home party that Gabe Vilardi had when he went back to LA. That game was so fun.
That was wild.
And no, the Wild was today.
Shut up.
the peanut gallery was laughing at that one. So that's a win. but that has to be mine. I see in the chat Jeff Kabilis also is agreeing with you. 2023 moment for him, his first whiteout game since 1990.
Oh, that's awesome. Long time, long wait for that, but well worth it when you get in there and see everyone kind of all on the same page.
Yeah, it's been a fun year, and as we turn over into the new year, we are once again at a point where we can say the Winnipeg Jets were phenomenal in December. I think they went 10-1-2 in December.
That's correct. Yeah,
which is bonkers considering you know where we were at.
And their only loss came to the San Jose Sharks. Just putting that out there.
Fraudulent.
Frauds. but this year has been, you know, like I vividly remember running into a couple different people within the Winnipeg media circle at dev camp, at training camp and stuff like that when I go to watch. And, you know, I remember we were there once talking to Sean, and I was saying to Sean Reynolds, like, listen, this was right after No, right before the Hellebuck and Shifley signings, when I was like, they've made the wrong decision. Like, I think they needed to put a little bit more emphasis on the future of the Lambert, the Barlow, the McGrorty's of the world, especially with the possibility of the Milicic-DeVincentis tandem coming up and stuff like that. I was like, I think they chose to put their eggs in the wrong basket. This might be the most wrong I have ever been about a hockey take in my life. And I'm owning it. I'm wearing it because, like you said, I want to give Kevin Cheveldayoff a firm handshake. I'm really impressed with where this team is at. Even seeing all of the other, teams, again, when the Oilers are failing, I am succeeding personally in my heart. And just seeing other teams like them in certain situations where they just feel, you know, like there seems to be a vibe that's off. When you see interviews, when you hear about what's going on in and around the team and stuff like that, this team seems all on the same page. They seem on board to be together. They seem excited to be here, excited to be in the arena every single day. You hear all these small, cute anecdotes about the players and things they do for each other and things they do together on their own spare time and things like that. Like, the vibes, I feel like, have never been better around the Winnipeg Jets, almost since regular season vibes, at least. You know, it's, you always kind of romanticize the playoffs a little bit and things always get really exciting around that time. But as far as like a regular season vibe, I can't remember in recent history a time that I've ever felt like this team is more kind of all bought in, not just on winning hockey games, but winning hockey games in the city of Winnipeg. So maybe this is just some big knee soapbox speech, but I'm really excited about how 2023 is ending for the Jets. And I'm hoping they don't do what they did to us last year.
Well, that's what I was going to say is as we conclude this, I remember concluding, actually you did the New Year's game last year. Never mind. But yeah. I do remember concluding last, 2022 saying the Jets are at a place where we did not expect them to be. And like last year, it's up to them to make sure that it goes well and we don't get a repeat of last year. The vibes are great, but vibes are just vibes. Results are results.
And right? We're getting both of them right now. 10-1-2 and a Squirtle Sacks. So that's how well things are going now. We got results and vibes going on for the Winnipeg Jets. A little more on the just kind of personal side here. Thank you so much, everyone, for all the support we got from you guys in 2023. It's been a super, super fun time. We're so lucky to get to do this together and with all the hosts from the 6 other markets in Game Over and just the entire supportive crew over at SDPN. We've grown a lot this year. We've had a lot of fun. I've gotten to connect with a lot of you guys, which is the best part of all this, is creating and being part of community spaces to talk about the Jets. So we see Jeff, we see Voice of Fire, we see Stonewall Dave, we see everyone in here. Thank you so much for being here today and every day that we do this. It's only fun because we get to talk about the team that we all love together with all of you. So thank you so much, and we are excited to do even more of this in 2024 and hopefully cover some playoff wins at home. That would be great. That would be awesome.
That would be nice. But with that, I think that is a great place to wrap up the show. Thank you all for tuning in with us. Enjoy your New Year's. Make sure you guys stay safe. Fucking get a safe ride home. I don't care.
Have a safe ride home.
I know. I was trying. No. We're not doing the MPI. The torturous MPI commercial. Like I was saying, please do enjoy yourselves tonight. Have a lot of fun, but make sure you guys get home safe. And with that, we will see you next year in 2024. Thank you all for tuning in. Follow SCPN Sports. Subscribe to to SDPN on YouTube. We're very, very close to 100K. Once we get that, we get to do a bunch more fun stuff because we get partnered. So please do that. It would really help us. But other than that, follow us on Twitter. Follow at Liz Hood. Follow at NHL Chunky. And follow at SDPN Sports. And of course, as always, have yourselves a wonderful evening. Thank you all for tuning in with us.